Hey, brother. Can't hear you yet.
Buenos dias. Good morning, everyone.
All right. Good to see you, brother. I'm going to let you
How
take...
are you doing?
Ah, we're good. How are you in Spain? How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Let me bring my wife just a little bit. She doesn't want to appear. She's just right here.
You can wave to them. Nice to see you. Hey. All right.
Okay, she's quite shy.
Okay, man. Yeah. Well, you got the next 2 hours. Take as long as you want. All right, brother? Let's listen.
Okay,
now.
Thank you very much, Joe and brothers and sisters. What a pleasure to be with you, to be in contact with you again. I was recalling that about a year ago, we were leaving the United States, flying back to Europe. That was the time when the skies were closed between the two continents because the whole thing of the pandemic, and it began a very interesting season for the entire world. And we have been remaining in touch with our work in the North Africa, Middle East region, and many good things have been happening, some of them quite challenging, but God has been very faithful with his task among the unreached. So what a privilege to be with you again. For me, it's amazing that we can be sharing through this way today. But seems like everyone else is becoming an expert on video conferences during the last 12 months. I have a pretty rare relationship with my Zoom program. Sometimes I love it, and sometimes I hate it. So, because I'm spending a number of hours, as many of you, during the last 12 months. So Patricia is doing well, as you could see, and my kids doing well, and the task of the Lord among Muslims as well. Now I want to invite you today to open our Bibles or your telephones on 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a super well-known passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses from 1 to 10. But during the last year, doing my devotions here at home, one day this just doing my readings in the Bible, that passage really captured my attention. And some of these very well-known affirmations that Paul the Apostle did to Timothy in a very special season as well. Now we have begun to feel a little better. I suppose that you do in the United States, but we are too here in Europe and North Africa and Middle East. Last week I did my first travel, not to the North Africa region, but to Senegal, because my colleague René Mbongo, the Partners International Director for West Africa, passed away because the COVID, because the virus. So the whole the illness took his life in very few days, and I had to travel to Senegal in order to give some companionship to his family through the funeral and to inherit some of his responsibilities. Patricia and I have been leading North Africa, Middle East, but now that Rene has been promoted to be with the Lord, we are going to be taking some of his West African responsibilities. So, and I have to say that it was amazing to be with the people, with the projects, and seeing what the Lord has done during the last year. So, 2 Timothy, as you know, is a very special letter, because probably is the last is the last letter, the last text that Paul the apostle wrote on his journey on earth, and that letter was given to Timothy, his beloved disciple. And as you maybe know, Paul was right at the end of his earthly race. He was right at the end of his life, just expecting the final sentence against him. And that was actually one of the last moments of his life. So, but he wrote this beautiful letter to Timothy, and then he was expressing his convictions to his beloved disciple in a difficult moment for the church, in a difficult moment for the followers of Jesus. We have not lived yet that kind of opposition. We have to be honest. The pandemic has been quite difficult, but let me tell you something. I don't want to ruin nobody's eschatology, but this is not the end of the world yet. So, actually, at the end of the day, what we are seeing, I'm going to share some numbers of what has been happening among Muslims during the last year in my area of responsibility. But it's been a difficult season. And that's why I strongly believe that some of his advices to Timothy could be good for us. Now, my dear friends, let me tell you something. I've been a little bit trapped in Spain. I've been feeling like a lion in a zoo for the last months. So I have not been using my English as often as I did before. So I am totally sure that if I not did it before, today surely I'm going to be destroying the English language with you. But you have to forgive me. And somebody told me that Joe joins my club once in a while. So please forgive me. And please forgive me, Joe, whatever you are. So, let's read the Bible. 2 Timothy. And I'm going to use one of these easy-to-read English versions. And it says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You then, my son, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained or imprisoned. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So God bless his word. So what a moment in the life of the apostle, in prison, in a very difficult moment, and in giving this kind of recommendations. So let me revisit with you some of these recommendations, and finally, I'm going to share a number of thoughts for our meditation. What captures my attention? This is Paul talking with Timothy, and Paul understanding that he is at the end of his life because preaching the gospel. First recommendation, he says in verse 1, be strong in his grace. He's recommending Timothy, be strong in the Lord, be strong in his faithfulness. Remember who Jesus is. There's going to be difficult times, but in the midst of trial and difficulties, remember who Jesus is. About 10 days ago, I was returning from Senegal, West Africa, to my home in Spain after René Mbongo's funeral, my colleague that I told you before. And I was talking with his wife, Faustine. They are from the Central African Republic, believe in the Lord Jesus in that country, and they were leading the actions of my mission society for 20 years, bringing many people, many Muslims to Jesus, and leading teams of church planters in West Africa, seeing many people coming to the kingdom. And I was talking with Faustine in his house in Dakar City, the capital city of Senegal. And I was just trying to understand what happened, the whole confusion, and some maybe terrible mistakes in the procedure that he was treated with the whole thing. But the point is that the very final day of René Mbongo's on earth, they were running in an ambulance from a point in Dakar City towards one of the hospitals of the city, and he was actually dying. And Faustine told me, Alan, I'm gonna miss my husband terribly. But it was a sense of supernatural joy that right at the moment that he was departing with Jesus, he told me, Faustine, God is good. Jesus is good. I am going home. And then René departed with the Lord. And that was amazing for me. It had two very simple sentences. You know, God is good. Jesus is good. I'm going home. That expresses fully the hope of the Christian believers that our lives are going to be ending someday on earth, but we have the certainty that we are going home. And Paul was looking out that kind of certainty in Timothy, that to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul was understanding that now Timothy was getting by his own without his beloved teacher and apostle, and Paul is entrusting Timothy to the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that has been present in my mind during the last 12 months, a time of many difficulties globally. You have been living some difficulties in the States, and your brothers, our brothers in Christ Jesus among Muslims, have been living difficulties during the last 12 months. Many of the Muslim governments have been using the whole pandemic season in order to stretch out the community of believers of Jesus Christ in the Muslim world, is using the illness in order to strangle the actions of the church in the Muslim world. But you know, for reasons that the Bible explained well, and we are going to be visiting some of them today, every time that the church is under pressure, seems that we tend to function really well. So when we are under fire, when our faith is under proof, seems like us, believers of Jesus Christ, tend to do well. So I am not asking God to be released from the trials of the world. I am not even asking God to be free from the fears of the pandemic. What I am praying, and I guess this is what the text is going to tell us. We have to pray to finish well our race on earth in order to give honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then, 2 Timothy 2:2, a super well-known text for church planters. And it says, and the things you, Timothy, have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So Paul is departing. He knows that the day has come for him. And recommendation number one, be strong in his grace. Recommendation number two, let's keep moving forward and trust this gospel to reliable people that are going to be capable to transmit the message of the Lord to others. The Christian faith is a dynamic faith. The Christian faith is a missionary faith. Or if our faith is not missionary, this is not Christianity. So in the DNA of the Christian faith exists a compelling, driven force that should be pushing us out to this world, telling to the outsiders, don't fear, don't be afraid. Jesus has come and Jesus could be your hope. And Paul is wanting to tell Timothy, I'm going to be out of the picture now. But remember, as I wasn't trusting this message to others and to many witnesses, now you have to do it with others. Dear brothers and sisters, in times of trial, in times of struggles, what we have to do is to reproduce our faith, is to tell others how great is God, is our God. If our contexts are facing confusion, let's not join the confusion. Let's tell others that they can find peace in Jesus Christ. This is what this world is needing to hear. So, during the last year, my colleagues in the Muslim world, my area is North Africa, Middle East, Patricia and I are coordinated with team leaders, at least a group of 300 church planters. So obviously I am not carrying all of them. We are working in teams. We are working with team leaders. We are working with church planters. And let me be honest with you. We were expecting the worst in the beginning of the whole pandemic because many countries were closing and many of these countries were under curfew. You know, imagine that the right word, curfew, when, you know, 9 p.m., everybody should be at home, this kind of thing. So you are pretty good guessing. So we were expecting the worst. We were expecting very low results from our actions in the air world. Now, last January, Patricia and I needs to measure what was happening in our area of action every single year through these Muslim background believers teams and Latin American teams. Patricia and I are working with former Muslims that now are disciples of Jesus Christ. And we are working with Latin Americans from Mexico till Brazil, Spanish speakers that are living among Muslims. So MBBs and Latin Americans. That's our main responsibility. And then we begin our work or trying to understand what happened. And then my colleagues told me, Alan, you have no idea what happened. In the beginning, yes, we were in a kind of lockdown in every one of our countries. But our countries realized that if they were locking down every single place and business in their country, they were going to destroy their economies. So they were allowing some level of freedom in those countries. And what did the Church of Jesus Christ among them? They began to serve the widow, the poor, the orphan, and the refugee, as what we have been doing for 2,000 years. You know, I was reading an article about pandemics in Christian history, and every time that we had faced a plague, because pandemic is a very fancy word today, but until a few years ago, we were talking of plagues. And every time that we were facing this terrible illness, destroying large areas of the world, the Church of Jesus Christ has been shining. And it happened in almost every century since the coming of Jesus Christ to the world. And now, in the Arab world, these colleagues began to visit households and food distribution, medicine distribution, and preaching the gospel. And then we began the terrible work of counting what they have done and what we have done. And surprise, surprise, we were counting one time, we were counting two times, because we were not given credit of what happened. So we've been the last couple of months revisiting our numbers and now revisiting different countries. Next week I'm going to Senegal as well. And next month traveling for my first time in a year to Turkey, to Jordan, and to Egypt with my wife Patricia, because we have found that at least 30,000 Muslim households were blessed by these Christian church planters during the pandemic time. Almost 30,000 households. In a typical Muslim household, you have 5 to 10 people living in. So you just do your math at home. But as one friend told me, an Arabic friend in Jordan told me, Alan, the pandemic year has been probably one of the best years on our lifetime in terms of preaching and harvesting. To God be the glory. God has been using a terrible season on earth in order to make his name known to a number of people that during regular times were not able to hear the good news. And I'm super excited. I am not dancing because I want to respect you today. But as soon as I finish this, I'm going to be dancing with my wife again. Dancing. And salsa music from the Caribbean side of the world. Because that's the best music of the world. And we know how to dance. Please forgive me. So, but the point is that Paul is saying, be strong in the grace of the Lord, Timothy. I'm going to die. Be strong. And Timothy, I'm going to die. What you have heard from me, please share this with others. Truth-worthy people. In order to have these people sharing the gospel with others, and these others with others, no matter, we are facing difficulties. The best time of the church is when we have problems. So, please, don't call me crazy. I'm not saying that I am enjoying the pandemic season with all of the confusion that the whole thing has brought to humanity. What I'm saying is, I have seen with my eyes God moving in the midst of this pandemic, bringing glory to his own name. To God be the glory. So, Jesus told us, in this world, you are going to face affliction or tribulation. But now, let me use my Latino version. You have to forgive me. And Jesus said, be relaxed. I have overcome the difficulties. Do you understand what I mean? Please, that's not a final. That's a translation from, that comes from English to Spanish and back to English. But the point is that Jesus told us, don't be worried. In this world, you are going to have troubles and afflictions and tribulations. But I, Jesus, have overcome all of those struggles. There's no surprises. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ is going to face some level of affliction and persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. So, let's keep reading. So, be strong in His grace and reproduce what you have heard, no matter if we are facing persecution. And then said a triple analogy. Paul says, join with me in suffering, yes, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying. So, Paul's recommendation, the grace of Jesus, reproduce what you have heard in times of a struggle. And number three, the analogy. Fight like a soldier. Compete like an athlete. And give a hard work like the laborer in the farm. So the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. So fight like the soldier. Compete like the athlete. And do hard working, expecting the harvest. So soldier, athlete, and the hardworking labor on the field. So Paul is leaving, and this is his recommendation. I'm going to be here, Timothy. I'm going to be sacrificed because the name of Jesus. So please, don't get confused with earthly things. As it is with the soldier. A soldier is not involved in civilian affairs. And if you want to be a good athlete, compete according to the rules. And if you want to have a share of the harvest, let's do a hard work. So a triple analogy. So be ready. Let me use these words. I'm sorry, I'm combining Spanish with English, but received by faith. So in heaven, we are not going to have these kind of problems. So, but Paul is talking about the dedication of the soldier. In times of a struggle, let's be dedicated. In times of struggle, let's be focused. There's nothing more focusing than an athlete. My country is a very small country, Costa Rica. So we don't have the long history that you have in the U.S. with athletes winning gold medals here and there. We have very few. We have some few. But I remember two ladies, and they used to be swimming in competitions at the Olympics. These two ladies were amazing. These two ladies were totally devoted to this sport. They were devoted pursuing the gold medal. And this is what Paul is talking about. And hard work. I remember in my Costa Rica, how important was, not anymore, the coffee plantations. And if you want to get money when you were a child in my country, You were going to spend some weeks of your vacation time in order to go to take some grains of the coffee plantations and get some money for your free time. And between you and me, I was a total disaster on the coffee plantation because I was always jumping and laughing and playing and not really winning a lot of money. But I just loved that season of my life. But it was normal. It was normal for our families, not anymore. But when I was a boy, it was normal to spend a time. If you want to have some money, you have to go out to the coffee plantations to win some money. And the only way to get some share of the money of the coffee plantations was through a hard work. You have to dedicate your energy to do it. And Paul, in his recommendation is saying, Timothy, this is the time to be dedicated and faithful like the soldiers, to get focused like the athletes and giving a hard working like the ones laboring the land on the fields. Don't get distracted. My friends, this is not the time to get distracted. And I am afraid that we, the church in the West, because we are not accustomed to suffer, we are not accustomed to have trials, we are not accustomed to feel pressure, because our faith and convictions, we get quite lost when the fire is quite up or is getting hot. But the rest of the global church understand persecution, and they do understand that persecution, because faith is basically normative for the followers of Jesus. If we are going to stand firm with our convictions about the Bible, about Jesus, about life, about honesty, about ethics, we are going to receive some resistance. That's the normal thing. Because Jesus is creating a new humanity in us. A people that is calling to be like him. So now that I did, after months here in beautiful Spain, and visiting Senegal again, my heart is in the Middle East. My dear ones, I'm just expecting, between you and I love my kids. I'm just ready to see them graduating from college. You know, Latino families tend to get together until the very end of the road. That's one of our particularities in our culture about families. But I'm ready to go back to the Middle East and learn from our brothers and sisters under persecution how they have learned to live under pressure. If you read in your at home Philippians 1 verse 29, Paul is telling the Philippians, let me read it very fast. I know by memory that verse in Spanish, the official language of heaven, but now I have to use English. So, and it says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. So you have been granted. You have received the prize of not just believing in him, but suffering for him. So let's get focused. Let's be devoted in times of opposition, trials, or problems. Let's not be afraid. And finally, if we read together, it says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. So he's saying, Timothy, be strong in his grace. Reproduce with others what you have heard in order to get this thing dynamic, even though we were facing difficulties. Let be like the soldier, like the athlete, like the laborer. And now, one of his recommendations on this text is remember Jesus. Remember that he was raised from the dead, descended from David. And that is my gospel. I love that verse of the Bible that says there's no other name under heaven from which we could be saved. Just the name of Jesus. The whole context of the text. No, there's no other name. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Remember my gospel. That's why I am in chains, because the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. So, let me summarize our time together. Well, just a final story. I was talking with one of my Arabic leaders, my friends. They are not mine. They are my friends. They are my brothers. They are my colleagues. And after Ramadan last year, through the pandemic, and I was laughing. Ramadan is a very difficult time for Christian believers in the Muslim world. It's the time when Muslims are fasting during the day. And almost every Christian and missionary living among Muslims says that the time when you are facing the time of Ramadan, the fasting time, is just difficult for the ones living out there for many reasons. And then I called my friend Afif Khalasa in Amman at the end of Ramadan. And I said, Afif, how are you doing? And then he said, Alan, we have lived one of the best Ramadans that I remember in my entire life. He's a Christian believer. And he said, what do you mean, brother? What do you mean with best Ramadan of my life? What is this for a Christian? And then he said, because the pandemic, every single mosque is closed. And a typical Muslim believer don't have this sense, this organic sense that we have as Christians. Christians understand that the church is people, not buildings. Buildings are the places where the church gather. But actually, the church is me and you. So they don't have this organic sense. So when every single mosque in Amman, Jordan got closed, they just got lost during the Ramadan time. And we as Christians have faced one of the best Ramadan of our lives. Praise God. And then he told me, you know, I was hearing the complaints here, us, including me, in the West. Oh, the pandemic, the pandemic, the pandemic. And this brother in Christ, in the heart of the Muslim world, a terrible religion that opposed the name of Jesus, this Christian, born-again believer, pastor, says, this has been one of the best Ramadans of my life. Because every single mosque has been closed, but Christian has gathered at homes without any problem, worshiping the name that is above other names. We have no problem if they close our buildings. We have no problems if everything is locked down. We have our families. We have our wives and children. We gather in our homes, even though everything was closed and the Muslim governments were just stretching out our presence in every single Muslim country. We don't care. They cannot destroy the church because the church is not a building. The church is people. It's people. So every time that I've been realizing and just comparing, and I suppose that in Idaho you don't have this kind of complaining, so I'm just telling you a story. So, but we have been complaining in the West every single day for the pandemic. But our brothers in Christ, born again believers, followers of the King, whose names are written in the book of life, like yours and mine, for them has been a quite uncomfortable year, but wonderful in terms of faith and church growth. It is not, this is just outstanding. That's the contrast of the kingdom. So that when everything seems terrible, the church has a chance to flourish and to shine. May the Lord help us. Okay, I have to finish. That's my Latino side talking too much. So, four thoughts, my wonderful friends, about the text. And that has been my challenge during the last few months. Let me close with the numbers. Okay, I told you, 30,000 Muslim households receive a Christian visiting during the last 12 months. And every time that they were receiving medicines and food, they were receiving a gospel presentation of who Jesus is, and that Jesus is more than a prophet, that Jesus is the Son of God that came to earth, died on a cross, resurrected on the third day, and now is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. This is that they were hearing during the time of COVID. Hallelujah. So close to 2,000 Muslims took a decision for Jesus Christ. Just through these teams, we are not the only one mission society in the area, as you maybe know. I'm just sharing my small piece of the pie. 2,000 former Muslims, followers of Muhammad, today, in the midst of trials and difficulties, are saying, Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. At least 250 formal churches were organized in the area, and at least 700 small Bible groups are gathering still today in the whole area. So, the whole thing is, I was expecting a disaster because the pandemic, and voila, Jesus surprised us, doing more than we were expecting in the midst of a very difficult year. Have been they suffering? Yes. Maybe some of them have died because of the pandemic? Absolutely, yes. Have been they under pressure by Muslim governments? Yes. But has been growing the kingdom of God, bringing people to the knowledge of the King Jesus? Absolutely, yes. Has been his name being proclaimed in the midst of this illness? Yes. Has the missionary work stopped because the illness? No, because Paul told us the word of God, the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. This is what Paul is telling Timothy, verse 9, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained, is not imprisoned. And that is truth. And that is truth. The word of God is not in prison. Okay, before to say goodbye. Number one, dear brothers and sisters, in times of difficulties, I am not inventing, we said in Spanish, the hot water here. But number one, remember who Jesus is. Let's remember who Jesus is in times of trials. Let's remember his grace. Let's remember his death. Let's remember who he is and that he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Number two, in times of trial, rather than of stopping of actions, of gospel actions, Let's reproduce our convictions. In times of trial, people tend to be a little bit more open to hear. Let's do it. Number three, let's fight, let's run, let's harvest. Like the soldier, like the athlete, like the laborer. Let's be focused on our faith. Let's keep working hard and let's give dedication. And finally, suffering is not a rare thing for believers. Actually, it's almost normative in the New Testament. I don't know why some areas of the world are suffering more or less. But what I know, that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be receiving some level of persecution. So let's remember who Jesus is. So let's keep praying for the word, for the task among Muslims. I was ready for lament and tears, and God has took me by surprise. He has been moving in the midst of a difficult time. Now let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for my beloved friends. And help us to remember the counsel of your word. Help me to remember who Jesus is, that he was raised from the dead. He has overcome the curse of the dead, and now he's interceding for us in heaven. Help us to reproduce our faith in others, to entrust in others. Help us to be fighting, running, and harvesting, dedicating our faith, getting focused, and doing the hard work for the kingdom. And help us to remember that we have been granted not only for believing in Christ, but suffering as well for him. To God be the glory. Have a good day. I love you very much. We have you in our hearts. Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the charge to be faithful to the gospel. And that's why we love you and your family, because you are faithful. We'd like to pray for you and the ministry and out there. And I'm going to have a elder.
It says,
come.
Stay on, Alan. Okay.
Has he heard me? All right. We're going to pray for you.
Well, thank you, Joe. My love to you, to your family, to everyone at the church.
Yeah. We're going to have an elder coming forward, and we want to pray for you. Two things though before I leave with you. Can I see that cup? Your water cup. Lift up your water cup. Is that, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
That wasn't funny.
All right. I was wondering, can we do this every month? Oh, I don't think you heard me.
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, yeah. No. So let's pray for Matt. Matt's going to pray here.
Thank you, Joe.
You hear me? Okay, now you can hear me. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we give you praise and thanks, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for the encouraging words we've heard from Brother Matamoros. And thank you, Lord, for he and Patricia's ministry, for the work of their family, their love for you. Thank you for the great example that they are to us and stirring us up, Lord, to good works and to follow you and to live for you during a very difficult time. Lord, I thank you for him sharing some of the challenges that they've been experiencing, but Lord, we rejoice in the great fruit that you are harvesting at this time. We thank you that 30,000 Muslim households have been impacted by these gifts and medicine that have been brought to them, Lord. So many faithful Christians have been reaching out, and we give you praise and thanks for that. We thank you for the 2,000 Muslims that have made decisions for Jesus. We rejoice in that, Lord. That is a great encouragement to us. We think of these 250 churches that have organized and 700 Bible groups. Lord, it is a joy and a blessing to see that you are still at work, active. And we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in our areas as well to reach out and to share your good news and your love with others. Lord, we pray for Alan and Patricia's family. We think of Priscilla and Jose Pablo as they go to school and continue their studies. We think of Priscilla as she finishes her college time, Lord, and as she serves you faithfully in her church. We think of Jose Pablo as he finishes his second year of university and is thinking about going to a different university next year. We ask that you would guard them and bless them, protect their minds and hearts, Lord, as they follow you and serve you together. Lord, we once again just bring this family before you, and we give you praise and thanks for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Love you, brother.
Okay, I love you. I love you.
Love you.
Come and visit us as soon as we can. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.